Far from his loved ones still, he suffers torments off on a wave-washed island rising at the centre of the seas, a dark, wooded island, and there a goddess makes her home, daughter of Atlas, wicked Titan who sounds the deep in all its depths, whose shoulders lift on high the colossal pillars thrusting earth and sky apart. Atlas's daughter it is who holds Odysseus captive. Luckless man! Despite his tears, forever trying to spellbind his heart with suave, seductive words and wipe all thought of Ithaca from his mind. But he, straining for no more than a glimpse of hearth smoke drifting up from his own land, Odysseus longs to die. Olympian Zeus, have you no care for him in your lofty heart? Did he never win your favour with sacrifices burned beside the ships on the broad plain of Troy? Why, Zeus, why so dead set against Odysseus? My child, Zeus, who marshals the thunderheads, replied, what nonsense you let slip through your teeth. Now, how on earth could I forget Odysseus, great Odysseus, who excels all men in wisdom, excels in offerings too? He gives the immortal gods who rule the vaulting skies. No, it's the earth-shaker Poseidon, unappeased, forever fuming against him, for the Cyclops, whose giant eye he blinded, godlike Polyphemus, towering over all the Cyclops clans in power. The nymph Thoosa bore him, daughter of Phorcys, lord of the barren salt sea. She met Poseidon once in his vaulted caves, and they made love. And now, for his blinded son, the earthquake god, though he won't quite kill Odysseus, drives him far, of course, from native land. But come, all of us here, put heads together now. Work out his journey home, so Odysseus can return. Lord Poseidon, I trust, will let his anger go. How can he stand his ground against the will of all the gods at once, one god alone? Athena, her eyes flashing bright, exulted. Father, son of Cronus, our high and mighty king, if now it really pleases the blissful gods that wise Odysseus shall return home at last, let us dispatch the guide and giant-killer Hermes down to Ogygia Island, down to announce at once to the nymph with lovely braids our fixed decree. Odysseus journeys home, the exile must return, while I myself go down to Ithaca. Rouse his son to a braver pitch, inspire his heart with courage, to summon the flowing-haired Achaeans to full assembly, speak his mind to all those suitors, slaughtering on and on his droves of sheep and shambling long-horn cattle. Next I will send him off to Sparta and sandy Pylos, there to learn of his dear father's journey home. Perhaps he will hear some news and make his name throughout the mortal world. So Athena vowed, and under her feet she fastened the supple sandals, ever-glowing gold that wing her over the waves and boundless earth with the rush of gusting winds. She seized the rugged spear tipped with a bronze point, weighted, heavy, the massive shaft she wields to break the lines of heroes the mighty father's daughter storms against. And down she swept from Olympus's craggy peaks and lit on Ithaca, standing tall at Odysseus's gates, the threshold of his court. Gripping her bronze spear, she looked for all the world like a stranger now, like Mentes, lord of the Taphians. There she found the swaggering suitors, just then amusing themselves with rolling dice before the doors, lounging on hides of oxen they had killed themselves, while heralds and brisk attendants bustled round them, some at the mixing bowls, mulling wine and water, others wiping the tables down with sopping sponges, setting them out in place. Still other servants jointed and carved the great sides of meat. First by far to see her was Prince Telemachus, sitting among the suitors, heart obsessed with grief. He could almost see his magnificent father here in the mind's eye, if only he might drop from the clouds and drive these suitors all in a rout throughout the halls, and regain his pride of place and rule his own domains. Daydreaming so, as he sat among the suitors, he glimpsed Athena now, and straight to the porch he went, mortified that a guest might still be standing at the doors. Pausing beside her there, he clasped her right hand, and relieving her at once of her long bronze spear, met her with winged words, "Greetings, stranger. Here in our house you find a royal welcome. Have supper first."